You don't get to change your mind until the next election. It is not like buying one brand of bread today and a different brand tomorrow if you change your mind. Incremental decisions can be more fine-tuned than deciding which candidate's whole package of principles and practices comes closest to meeting your own desires. Incremental decision-making also means that not every increment of even very desirable things is necessarily desirable, given that there are other things that the money could be spent on after having acquired a given amount of a particular good or service. For example, although it might be worthwhile spending considerable money to live in a nice home, buying a second home in the country may or may not be worth spending money that could be used instead to send a child to college or to buy an annuity for later retirement years. One consequence of incremental decision-making is that additional increments of many desirable things remain unpurchased because they are almost, but not quite, worth the sacrifices required to get them. From a political standpoint, this means that there are always numerous desirable things that government officials can offer to provide to voters who want them, either free of charge or at reduced government-subsidized prices, even when these voters do not want these increments enough to sacrifice their own money to pay for them. Ultimately, of course, the public can end up paying as taxpayers for increments that they would not have chosen to pay for as consumers. The real winners in this process are the politicians, whose apparent generosity and compassion gain them political support. Politics has sometimes been called the art of the possible. But that implies a level of constraint that simply does not exist in democratic politics. As a noted economist has pointed out, no voting system could prevent the California electorate from simultaneously demanding low electricity prices and no new generating plants while using ever-increasing amounts of electricity. This is just one of many ways in which the impossible can win elections. Beliefs can trump facts in politics and have repeatedly trumped facts throughout history. Demagoguery beats data, as former Congressman Dick Armey put it. But the production and distribution of false beliefs is not solely a result of the skills of demagogues. There are certain kinds of beliefs that tend to be accepted without much evidence, or even in defiance of evidence. No political message has proven to be more welcome in countries around the world, in both democratic and undemocratic nations, and among peoples of every race and culture, than the message that your problems are not your fault, but the fault of others, and it is they who must change, not you. Moreover, it is they who must pay the consequences if they do not change, but not you. Not only particular political candidates, but in some countries, whole revolutionary movements have risen to power on the wings of that message. Politicians. While politicians can be expected to pay far more attention to political decisions than the average voter will, the nature of that attention is also likely to be different. Elected officials' top priority is usually getting re-elected, and their time horizon seldom extends beyond the next election. Laws and policies that will produce politically beneficial effects before the next election are usually preferred to policies that will produce even better results sometime after the next election. Indeed, policies that will produce good results before the next election may be preferred even if they can be expected to produce bad results afterwards. Thinking beyond the immediate consequences of a law or policy is a task which neither voters nor politicians have much incentive to undertake. When most voters do not think beyond stage one, many elected officials have no incentive to weigh what the consequences will be in later stages, and considerable incentives to avoid getting beyond what their constituents think and understand, for fear that rival politicians can drive a wedge between them and their constituents by catering to short-run public perceptions. The very way that issues are conceived tends to be different in politics from the way they are conceived in economics. Political thinking tends to conceive of policies, institutions, or programs in terms of their